I saw a player that had done nothing but lose for all his career, and then all of a sudden he comes here and like he felt it. Like I'm helping this team win. And Hugh, they don't win that game without that run. I mean, they're up 22-15 at that point. That puts them up 28-15. They needed every point they could have just to hold on. And my goodness, I just rewatched it. You knew he was gone at the Eagles 40. He made the safety miss, and it was just like, he's gone. I mean, no one's catching him. What a run.
Yeah. I mean, he had a special year, no question about that. But that run, that's when you're talking about slapping the helmet on the side. Yeah, he knew. He felt like, I'm pretty sure at that moment, he felt they were going to the Super Bowl.
Of course. I mean, yeah. Well, just the emotion of that. That game, it's funny, you know, the Super Bowl was a blowout. The NFC title game was a blowout. The Packers game, it was kind of close, but not really. I always thought they had it. That was the game, right? The Rams game was the nail biter. That was the tough one to win for the Eagles to go win their championship. And that play was incredible. So we are now down to number 17. Merrill moment number 17. The 78-yard Saquon Barkley run against the Rams in the NFC divisional playoff. You know, I've been trying to figure out what the top ones are. I'm guessing they're going to be Super Bowl moments. I'm guessing they're going to be NFC Championship game moments.
Feels like that might be the case.
Because we've had a lot of good ones that I, in my head, I'm like, maybe they would have been higher. Merrill Live's coming up on September 15th, the Scottish Rite Theater in Collingswood. Come join us, 94WIP.com. That snow run, Jack, by Barkley was incredible.
Oh, my. I mean, I remember being in my living room watching that, and as soon as like he scored, I as you guys were talking about, I thought we were going to the Super Bowl because at that point, like, we knew that we were playing Washington, and it just felt like that we got robbed out of, like, we got robbed from the game that we played in Washington, and we just wanted vengeance because they won Hurts, and we just wanted to make it to the Super Bowl again.
Yeah, of all the games, the Rams game was the only one I was nervous for. There was just something about that Rams team, McVay, Stafford.
Yeah, because they had a team that they looked like they could match us.
Yeah, and they did. I mean, it was a very close game. The other thing I think about, Hugh, when I think about that moment and that game, and I think it was last week we had the Shady McCoy run in the snow game in 2013.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It just makes me even stronger that Elliott Shore Parks cannot have his way, and we can never have a roof on the next Eagles Stadium. Like, we'll never get a moment like that again. It's just gone.
I don't know about the roof, though. I kind of, you know.
That's because you're afraid of the cold.
Well, I'm not afraid of the cold.
Well, then why do you want a roof?
I mean, because it's aesthetically pleasing. And you know,
aesthetically pleasing.
Makes me want to vomit.
I'm just going to jump.
Makes me want to vomit.
And we can host more events in the wintertime. We can actually host the Super Bowl.
Well, you know, let me ask you a question.
I could care less.
If the Buccaneers are playing the Bills, I don't care if it's in my backyard. Like, why do I care that it's here?
Because we want to get that revenue for the city. We want to build the city up.
You think more?
It's a beautiful spot.
I'd rather
Philadelphia. I mean, and to have a Super Bowl here during that time of year would be lovely.
Unless the Eagles are in it, I don't think most people care.
That's what I was thinking.
I could care less.
I could care less.
I could care less. I mean, and like, it just caused more commotion in the city, to be honest. I would want that.
Yeah, I mean, like, great for the city. They'll find other ways to make money. I'm not worried about the city's pockets getting lined because they build a new stadium
line
here.
Of pockets.
Well, I hate it. I mean, we all agree on that, right? If they build a stadium with a roof, the snow game by Barkley never happens again.
Yeah, it's just because
I mean, that was a great game, but still, that like the inside domes and stuff, they have moments in the dome. You know, that moment that they had in the Super Bowl with
they have moments, but they don't have snow moments.
The Super Bowl where the Rams won with. They stopped the Tennessee Titans from scoring at the end. That was,
a
moment.
But a snow moment, like a weather just would be gone from Philadelphia football. Yeah.
That's a staple.
What happened to you? You're a football player.
He changing. He evolving.
I know. You know, I don't think we're ready as a show. Yeah, for how much Hugh Douglas is going to be on he wants a roof on the next Eagles.
I'm just saying, I see where Elliott's coming from.
See where Elliott's coming from.
Why say that?
Just
see where Elliott's coming from.
I see where he's coming from.
So you're pro-dome.
Nick, are you ill?
Pro-dome. I'm pro-dome.
You're pro-dome?
Yeah, I'm pro-dome.
Wow is exactly right. Wow.
Pro-dome.
Pro-dome. Sometimes I think when people listen to this show, they wonder, who's the real football player?
Who the hell is Hugh Douglas? I get it.
It's brutal. I
have come into my own as a mature individual.
Yeah, mature is not the word. Soft.
Definitely
not
mature.
It's not mature.
I'm a mature, older gentleman now.
This is another fact, though. We're going to sanitize football because eventually, if all these teams build these stadiums with domes, every game will look the same. There's something unique about sports that every game looks a little bit different, right? You go, you play a game in Denver versus a game in Seattle versus a game in Green Bay versus a game in Miami. That, to me, that makes football fun because the weather plays a role, how the team is built, all that. If we're all going a roof on top of it, every football game will look the same.
How about if a compromise, we can open it and close it?
They don't do that. But by rule in the NFL, if it's under 40, the roof is closed. So, like, I think people might think what you're thinking, like, oh, maybe once in a while they'll let us have it. It will never happen again.
Yeah, there's restrictions on it.
Total restriction.
Yeah. Didn't the Dome used to be like open? It was open at the top.
Well,
and
the Cowboys have that. Yeah. And the new Bills Stadium in Buffalo, which is opening now, I think their first game is week two.
Atlanta does that.
Yeah, they have a hole. So, but I think the fans are covered in Buffalo now, but the field itself. Now, would you be good with that?
What's that? The fans covered?
Yeah, the fans covered, but the field still has
that
the
might
elements.
Work. That might work. That might work.
Are you worried about your own self being at Eagles games?
Well, that's exactly what this is.
That's exactly what this is.
I know that roof, though, that covered roof for the Bills, it also supposed to help, like, the wind issue that they've had with, like, kicking and
stuff
like that.
Yeah.
Which does change the game. Now we'll see if it benefits them or not. I just, you know, I couldn't help hear the Merrill call.
What do you feel about the Bills uniforms, though? Have you seen the new ones?
The ones that look like Boise State? The gray ones?
I didn't even...
They're gray, right? They're gray.
No, I'm talking about the helmet. The helmet is a little different.
Oh, yeah, they changed the helmet a little bit.
Yeah, they changed the helmet.
With those rival jerseys that you're talking about. It's like mainly the Bill horn, like the red stripe.
Yeah.
It's all blue.
I'm seeing it now. It's a blue with like the red stripe.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it's pretty much like
Nah, don't like it.
You're zoomed in on the Bill.
You like this, you?
I don't like the helmet as much as I like the uniform, if that makes sense.
It's almost, I don't know if you guys remember the old Patriots helmets. They kind of remind me of the old Patriots, the way the Patriot logo used to be. I don't know.
Mm,
Yeah.
But the color scheme.
Yeah.
I don't like those. I think most new uniforms kind of stink. I mean, the Eagles have hit a home run with the Kelly Green the last few years.
I feel like a lot of the jerseys, they're like stretching it a little bit.
Yeah, they're going too far.
Because they were saying, like, they were trying to say on the post and stuff like that it's like the Nickel City or something like that.
City uniforms.
Yes. So, and we were trying to do, like, the Phillies were trying to do that with, like, the state flag and stuff like that.
Right.
I'm not all for that. Nah. You're stretching it too much. You don't need all that.
Yeah, I think these teams go too far with it. All right, let's go to our Twitter poll question, sponsored by the PI Dental Center. Your smile is the first thing others see when they meet you. Learn about and schedule your evaluation, PIDentalCenter.com. Hugh Douglas, are you ready to say this Phillies team is different? Yes or no?
78% no.
64% no. 35.1% yes. 64.9% no. 35.1% yes. People still not wanting to see what's going on with the Phillies. All right.
78%.
Are you questioning Howie Roseman's backup quarterback decisions? Yes or no?
78% no.
They have four quarterbacks on the roster, and two of them look like...
Why are you mad at me?
Well, how could you think people are going to vote no?
Come on, you.
Okay, so what's the vote?
50-50.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's actually surprising.
Yeah.
Very surprising.
Well, I think people are out of the habit of questioning Howie. We just haven't done it in years.
So they
forgot what it's like that we used to do this all the time.
Howie we trust.
Yes. And then the final one, should the Phillies pinch hit Edmundo Sosa for Trey Turner in high leverage moments in October? Yes or no?
Ooh, 64% yes.
62% yes. The people are speaking, and they want Trey on the pine at the plate.
You know, I hear it, but we all know that that's not going to happen because there's too much money involved. It sounds and it feels simple as that, but it never is.
Even for one moment?
It never is.
Well, see, I agree with you on that it won't be a permanent thing or even like a full-time or a lot-of-time thing. I know that. But if one moment, if there's a pennant on the line or a series on the line or a division on the line, Don Mattingly's got to do what's right. And he knows what's right. And he knows Edmundo's a better high leverage hitter right now. 215-592-9494. All right, coming up, we'll get back to your phone calls on all this. Question and Howie, do you feel this Phillies team is different? I do. Big series starts tonight in Arizona. They could bury the Diamondbacks and really make sure this team is going to be in the postseason. We'll talk about that. Plus, a huge move we've been waiting for a while in the NFL. It finally happened yesterday. How do we now stack up against the team that is clearly the favorite to win?
Clearly
the favorite to win the Super Bowl. We'll talk about that next. It is the Midday Show on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
What up, people? Y'all know I like my bourbon, and I mean I like some good bourbon. My bourbon of choice is none other than Woodford Reserve, the official bourbon of the Kentucky Derby. And you know what? This month, we're celebrating National Bourbon Heritage Month. And trust me, if you're going to honor America's spirit, you have to go and do it right. We're talking about raising glasses to the most elite craft distilled whiskey on the planet, because a month this big deserves a bourbon this good. How should you celebrate? I'll tell you how. Right now at your local fine wine and good spirit stores, Woodford Reserve 750 bottles are $2 off, and that's just not for the classic straight bourbon. The deep, rich, double oaked, and spicy Woodford Reserve Rye 750s are also $2 off. Whether you crave a smooth old-fashioned or you prefer it neat, head to the Fine Wine and Good Spirits stores today to elevate your home bar. National Bourbon Heritage Month and Woodford Reserve. Celebrate responsibly.
515-592-9490. We're back to your phone calls in just a second here. We'll have you people around 145 see what they're up to today. But Hugh Douglas, yesterday the rich got richer, and we knew it was going to happen. It was a matter of time. The Rams and Aaron Donald have agreed on a one-year contract worth $20 million, which means one of the best defensive players really ever is coming out of retirement after 2 years to join the team that was the favorite anyway to win the Super Bowl, and now they get even better. So they went from plus 550 to win the Super Bowl to plus 500. They are by far the favorite. I don't remember the last time I saw a gap this big between the number one favorite entering a season and then whatever team is number two. They're 5-1. The next closest team in the odds are the Buffalo Bills at 10-1. So it's a pretty big gap there between those two teams. Hugh, the Rams getting Aaron Donald, your reaction, and really, how much do you think he can bring after 2 years not playing?
The game moves fast, man. Aaron Donald has done a tremendous job of taking care of himself. You know, I've seen the workouts. I've seen people still working out with him. But the game still moves fast. And I think he's going to contribute. Now, to how much, don't know. Don't know. I mean, they got a pretty stacked defensive line. But to have him in that rotation is tremendous for that team. No question about it. I mean, I'm not trying to poo-poo it. But, man, to take 2 years off, I don't know what that would be like, because I've never been in that position. But I think he's going to be serviceable. But to have that kind of grind and to ramp it up the way that it's going to probably take a little bit of time.
Well, it'll probably take time. But I would, even if he's 75%
he's
of the player.
He's still better than yeah, I'll take that all day.
Well, of course.
No question. And
then you think about it, Hugh, from the perspective of if he was more than that, right? I mean, if he could be 80% or 85% of what he used to be, I mean, you have to think he and Myles Garrett, on paper at least, one of the greatest defensive line pairings in NFL history.
I would probably say, well, you know, both of them are bona fide Hall of Famers. I think the closest thing to that would be Warren Sapp and Simeon Rice.
Reggie White and Jerome Brown for a brief period of time.
But, you know, when you talk about what they accomplished together, I would probably go Warren Sapp, Simeon Rice.
Maybe way back in the day, a Deacon Jones, Merlin Olsen.
Yeah, you're talking about long time ago.
Klecko and Gastineau with the Jets. Yeah, I mean, but like this happens very once in a while where there's a pairing like this and they have other players around them. I mean, look, the Rams are the favorite and there's a reason. They're the best team in the NFL. And Hugh, we're going to see them in week four. It is hard to squint and look right now entering the season and think we're in the same class as the Rams. Do you think we are?
I think let me say this, Joe. I think that we found ways to best the Rams when they were at their best.
But we had maybe a better roster then.
Okay, yeah. I mean, I'll give you that, but we have found ways. And I feel like the biggest thing looking at it this year is the Mannion factor. You know, and I'm not putting it all on Coach Mannion. Don't think that's what I'm doing. But he's a big part of it because, you know, you're going to have to figure out how to get the best out of these guys that are running your offense. So that might be some offensive adjustments that you might have to make to get the most out of your crew, right, moving forward.
But do we have the Jimmys and Joes? I mean, do we have the player? I mean, the Rams roster, I don't think we have the players on the level of the Rams roster.
I think so. Like, when you talk about player for player, you know, realistically, I probably had to get a nod to them. But I think we have – the one thing that we have going for us on the defensive side of the ball is a little bit more continuity.
Well, we could match them defensively.
Yeah, it's just offensively. That's what you worry about. That's what you worry about.
Well, they have the advantage of quarterback. They have the advantage of wide receiver. I mean, by a lot, right? Like, that's the areas where it feels
it's gonna
like...
It's as far as Eagles fans and we're concerned, it's going to be an interesting season to see how we measure up. We play some tough. We got some tough games early.
Well, it does.
We got Chicago. We got to go to what? Chicago.
So when I saw we all knew Donald was going to sign, right? That really wasn't a surprise.
Yeah, it was just he didn't want to go to training camp.
Right. It was a matter of when he would sign and how they would do it. Here's what it made me think and realize. Hugh, the first two games are must wins for the Eagles. Eagles' first game is here against Washington. They got to win that game.
Yeah.
Second game, they go to Tennessee. Right. I think we need to start 2-0 because after that we go to Chicago on Monday night. and then we come back here and play the Rams in week four. I mean, those the Eagles will be underdogs in week three and week four. They're going to be underdogs in Chicago, and they're going to be underdogs at home against the Rams. So, you know, I mean, just because you're an underdog doesn't mean you definitely lose, but they have. I think they have to win those two games to start the season.
No, I totally agree with you, because those other two, that's going to be a huge measuring stick for you. So you got to at least get those two first two.
So I was able to pull up the look-ahead lines, because you can look ahead to see what the line might be in the game. The Eagles are underdogs in week three in Chicago and week four against the Rams here in Philadelphia. So, boy, it puts the onus on one of those first two. Can we hear a little conversation that was had yesterday? Shady, LeSean McCoy, TJ Houshmandzadeh. Yeah, they were talking about the Eagles and Rams, and do the Eagles stack up? Let's hear that conversation.
I feel shade on that. He said, you can't be talking to losing that.
Because TJ was a Bengal, his opinion don't count?
No, much love for TJ Houshmandzadeh, man. But and this is where when you ask me questions like this, this is where my head says one thing, but my heart says
something. Oh, is this like
different.
When I ask you for your opinion to give me an opinion?
What are you talking about?
Well, what are you talking about?
I don't understand.
Yeah, you've told me that.
I don't understand.
Okay.
But I'm rolling with the Eagles. Now.
Wait, for a game or for the season?
For the season. For the Super Bowl. I mean, my head's telling me that, you know, you got Puka Nacua. Puka Nacua might not even be in that game because he might go bite somebody.
See,
he might be
this tells me we're in trouble. if we're relying on Puka to go bite people to win the game.
He might go bite somebody. Okay. He might have a relapse.
Yeah, okay.
He's going to put his teeth on somebody.
Well, if he doesn't have a relapse, we got to deal with him.
He was in the injury report. He's going to be ready for week one, but he don't know. He might have a toothache.
Week four, relapse, biting folks.
Might be out there biting folks. I mean, when you talk about the MVP and him coming back for another season, I mean, they're highly motivated.
They're loaded, yeah.
Yeah, they're highly motivated, man. And the Super Bowl being there, they're highly motivated. But I got my faith in the Eagles.
Yeah, they are probably one of the biggest favorites to start a season in recent memory. I mean, they're up there with some of the Chiefs with Andy and Mahomes, but even back, it feels like some of those Pats teams that were super favorites. So we'll see where it goes. But I think they're going to be really, really hard to beat. Preston in Downingtown is up on WIP. Hey, Preston. Preston, go once. Preston going twice. Preston
almost,
back on hold.
Moment's too big.
Yeah, we'll get back to Preston. Linda in Delco, we have her because she wants you to sing at a wedding. Linda.
Yes.
Linda, what's up?
Hi.
Hi.
Hey, Linda.
Hi, Hugh. My daughter's getting married in November. Would you like to come and sing a song? We would love
in November.
To have you.
Oh, that's football season.
No, we'll make time. Linda, what day is it?
You're making time.
What day is it?
What
day is it?
Football season. What you talking about? It's probably
a
weekend.
No. November 14th. It's a Saturday. Oh. Can't do it on Saturday. Sunday. Saturday.
Yeah.
It's a Saturday.
You know, we don't talk about college football. Hugh's free, I think.
Yeah, Hugh is free. Yeah.
He is free that day.
How you gonna pressure me into doing something and you ain't even pay for Buddy motorcycle? You ain't even give him a grand for the motorcycle. How you doing?
She's not asking you to pay for anything. You're gonna
I'm just saying it's gonna be. I might be busy. I don't know. We can look into it though. We can definitely look into it.
Where's
the wedding?
She gave me in Radnor. I don't want to say anymore.
Oh no, I know Radnor. Radnor's a nice neighborhood.
There you go.
Over there by Villanova.
Go to Radnor.
Yeah,
sing
nice.
At the wedding.
We can talk about that. Yeah, we can talk. We can definitely talk about that.
Okay. All right.
Got to figure out what songs I'm gonna sing if I do. And I got to get
maybe anything you want.
What? Anything you want.
Anything you.
That's the
way. She gave me the okay. So
wow.
I appreciate that. I appreciate that for considering me. I really do. I appreciate that.
Always. Definitely.
Appreciate that.
Yes. All that right. If you change your mind, give me a call.
All right, definitely. Linda, you get us the information, and we'll try to get you to do this. I mean, Well, because you tried. It's football season. I mean, come on. We all saw through that. It's not on a Sunday.
It's on a Saturday, though. It's college football.
Who
is
cares?
Big up north.
Nobody cares here about college football.
Do not care.
Yeah, I like college football, but nobody really cares. You know why I'm watching college football this year?
Why is that?
Like, I have my eye on the quarterbacks, Hugh, just in case we need one.
Just in case. Yeah.
I'm going to be eyeing all of them up this season. Oh, let's go to Chris in Middletown, up on WIP.
Chris!
Anything you want, Hugh. Anything?
I know what you're talking about, Chris.
I know. We were sharing the same brain there for a second. Okay.
That's the way
anyway. Yeah. The Alabama Black Snake. Anyway, moving on. Coach Ilio.
Yes.
You've proven today that you are a total idiot and you don't know anything about ball. And what Hugh Douglas has proven is that athletes know ball because the sky captain done crashed a plane over the weekend. And it looks like the Red Riflesman is going to be our backup quarterback.
Oh.
Hugh Douglas, proven right.
He's cooked, Chris. Andy Dalton.
Cooked.
Did you see McKee throw the ball, Joe?
Yes, he might stink too. Well, we got a backup quarterback problem. I do. And they both stunk the entire summer. So we have a backup quarterback problem.
Who we go with, Red Star Payne?
I don't know. But how come Howie didn't get a better backup? This is his job, not mine.
The factory must be broken. The machinery is down. The assembly line is down. But you know what else is broken? And Joe, I think you talked about this earlier. Forgive me. It's been a busy day. But for the life of me, Joe, I cannot understand why the worst defender of the Phillies, the worst fielder on the field, is never replaced. Bryce Harper gets replaced at the end of games. Kyle Schwarber gets replaced. Hell, sometimes the center fielder and left fielder get replaced for defense replacements. Why in God's name is Yips Turner always on the damn field? And Yips, no matter how awful he looks up at the plate and that stupid, stupid look on his face, continues to bat top three. If not leadoff, he's number two. And this nonsense because, we need to mix up with a right-handed bat. He can't hit left-handed pitching. He's worse than some of the lefties. So that doesn't make any sense, Joe. I don't know. I'm going crazy. Thank you, guys. Thank you for giving me a platform. But, Joe, Eagles' backup quarterback position's done. And, yips, I can't. We're not going anywhere in the playoffs, Joe. What you asked that earlier. Mm. We don't know how to run the bases. And we got yips at shortstop. We're not going anywhere.
All right, Chris.
Cook, season's over. Let's go, Birds.
We got to appreciate you.
Turner's crazy.
Yeah, well, it is ironic that the guy that plays the worst gets the most. Trey Turner leads baseball in at-bats, so it's like we have to watch all these. It almost feels like a sad form of torture. Why? Let's watch another Trey Turner at-bat. And he never gets taken off the field for defense. It is amazing.
Yeah,
it's like Groundhog's Day.
And you think that that's going to change sometime soon.
It should. I never said it. I think it will. It should. I mean, teams do dumb things all the time. I don't have to agree with them. I mean, like
this is definitely a money thing. It feels like it's a money thing, and it feels like it's a legacy thing for him.
He had a good point though of Schwarber and Harper being replaced, and they're money guys.
They are.
Yeah, I mean, but they're team guys too.
What is going to happen if they take an at bat away from Trey Turner? Let's actually workshop this for a second. Bottom of the ninth. Last game of a playoff series, they're down one. Edmundo's on the bench. They sit Trey down. They put Edmundo in. What's the worst that happens?
I think he might throw a hissy fit.
Oh, a hissy! Oh no! What are we gonna do if Trey Turner's upset? I was waiting for you to say demand a trade, and I was gonna say great.
I mean,
go.
Like he might throw
get
a hissy
out.
Fit, Joe. He looked like a hissy fit thrower.
Well, but that's like, but the, that would that stop you from doing it? I guess I don't really see the downside other than if you think you're going to lose him for years to come.
I think that's what they think. I think there's some level of you don't want to, you know, he's so dug into where he is that he doesn't want to, you don't want to lose him. That's what I'm thinking.
Well, I also wonder if the Phillies can't see what we see. I wonder if they're blinded by their original decision on Trey Turner, which is he is this player. We think he can become this player again. Mm-hmm. I think teams can't see the error of their own ways because it's their error. You know what I mean? Like Dave Dombrowski signed this guy.
They made a mistake and they don't want to correct the mistake that they made.
Well, I mean, think about it took them years to recognize Castellanos was declining as a defensive player and just overall as a player. I mean, it took him bringing the El Presidente in the dugout for things to really hit the fan there. By the way, I think I saw it. Castellanos is coaching somewhere locally now.
Yes. I thought he got named to be like a coach for like a little league team or something. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I think
you're
right.
He's fully in retirement now. We're done now.
Pretty much. Yeah.
Oh, he in Philly coaching?
Well, I mean, this is home. I mean, also South Florida's home for him. I'm not sure exactly where he is, but I think I saw he's coaching somewhere now.
That's pretty cool. Shout out to him.
Oh yeah. So it's I found the story. Nick Castellanos resurfacing baseball months after prep baseball All-American game in September. He's going to be.
That's what I saw. Yeah.
He's going to be coaching in that. Well, good for him.
Congratulations, man. Way to bounce back.
Yeah, I mean, he tried in San Diego, and then they cut him.
He's still trying, but yeah. We'll see how successful he's in the All-American
Congratulations,
game.
Yeah. Yeah. Kids.
I think I'd bet against him playing the major leagues again. Feels like it's time to call him.
He went to coaching. I mean, you know, coaching, that's calling some people.
Yeah, you know, I can see him being good at it. I mean, yeah. I can see kids, you know, him resonating with the kids. That'd be cool.
Bill, you see him getting promoted or no?
Hold on, Bill. Yeah. You mean like real coaching? Like
yeah,
moving up the ranks?
Yeah, moving up.
Like for real coaching?
Yeah.
Wait a minute, for real coaching now, though?
I mean, I think Jack meant professional.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah, getting up into the pros.
I don't know
how I feel about
that.
Probably
work with the kids first.
I actually think he'd be good with kids.
Yeah.
I could see that.
Yeah.
Especially being from the area, looking up to him or whatever.
Yeah.
But then you would get that one kid who dad knows baseball and talks about how bad.
Oh, Nick's not suffering fools like that.
Well, no, I'm just saying, talks about how bad you were when you played. My dad said you sucked and you were terrible out there in the outfield. He's going to get one of those.
Yeah.
He is at some point. Yeah.
That's going to happen.
You think Nick would handle that well?
Probably not. He'd probably beat the dad up.
No, let's hope that doesn't happen. That'd be a story. Bill in Middletown. No, you can't do that. Bill, what's up, man?
Hey, how you doing?
Good, Bill. What's up?
So the Eagles, I don't think the backup is on the roster, to be honest with you.
Yeah, that was a thought.
Kept them around and just seeing what comes about with the other teams, because neither of them really did anything in the preseason.
Well, if that was the case,
why'd we keep them?
Well, no, not only that, if the backup was say somewhere else. There ain't been too many quarterbacks cut. The only one I can think of right off the top of my head that was cut is Will Levis.
Will Levis was cut, yeah.
Yeah, yep. But it's like maybe they're trying to work a trade. You know, somebody can trade for another quarterback from another squad. Who knows?
I mean, Andy knows the system. I mean, it's the only reason why I can see why they kept him around.
Yeah.
And Tanner just blew it this offseason, you know, and didn't win the job, basically.
Bill, you're right. I don't think they did him any favors by kind of splitting his reps and taking away chances for him to get better in the new offense. But I think you're right. I mean, the fact that a 38, almost 39-year-old Andy Dalton may have beaten out Tanner McKee, Tanner blew it. I mean, he had a chance to be the backup here. And, you know, who knows? Maybe get to play, you know, at some games if the opportunity presented itself. And now it seems like he's just like a man without a spot.
And Hugh, can I ask you what was your philosophy going to your fantasy draft? Because I got the sixth pick also.
What was the philosophy? I didn't have one. I just kind of went by the seat of my pants. That was kind of my philosophy.
Are you saying you did have it or you do have it? Like your draft is coming up, Bill.
I just Wednesday night. I got the sixth pick.
So, Hugh, your first pick was Christian McCaffrey, right, at six?
Yes.
Yeah, Hugh got McCaffrey at six. Do you have a strategy?
Or
you who was your second pick?
I forgot who the second pick was off the top of my head, but I think it was a receiver. I think it was it Devontae Smith? Yeah, fantasy football is not my thing.
I thought he was the third round pick you guys had. You don't think it's Devontae in the second round.
It wasn't? I don't remember.
Well, I just that feels like it would be high.
I mean, but see, here's the thing, Bill. I don't put that much stock into fantasy football. I'm sorry. I'm not
Well, that's
invested.
Why you got an F for your draft.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not that invested. People mad about me drafting Tank.
I don't think anyone's mad
method.
You took Tank. I think we were trying to understand why you took Tank.
Especially that high.
Yeah, in the
because
fifth round.
Because he was there.
Right, but...
So is everybody else.
But in drafts, you take a player where their value is, not where they're just there.
You know what it was? Because at that point, when I was drafting, I told you I had a
Justin
Jefferson.
Bill, he got Justin Jefferson in the second round, which was a great pick. That was actually Hugh's best pick of the night.
No, your phone.
Yeah, phone's breaking up, Bill. We appreciate it. Good luck in your draft.
Can I just say something about fantasy football for the people that want to try to ridicule me for my fantasy football draft?
And there are thousands
that
are after you.
I'm about to Ryan Clark everybody.
Oh.
I played football.
You did?
Right. At a high level.
Yeah, you did.
Yes.
So I don't play fantasy. I play video games. I don't play fantasy.
But you do. You're in our league.
Yeah, I do. But I mean, because that's, you know, I'm all inclusive and I'm playing. So when you try to ridicule me about my draft picks and my acumen as far as like picking a player, don't bother me. Don't bother me. Not one iota.
I think our caller was actually trying to pick your brain, not ridicule you.
No, he was. Cause
no,
they know, they
I don't
know,
think
they,
he was.
Because he's like, I'm killing him. But that, like, whatever your strategy is to draft, that is your strategy. My strategy, I just go by what I'm feeling in the moment.
That's how the best drafters do it.
I'm where my feet are on a daily basis.
You think Howie's going to have that explanation at 3 o'clock for his roster?
No, he'll probably have.
I feel where my feet are.
No, you know
Tom
what?
I'm Howie.
Howie will probably have. I don't like the way you said it.
I'm Howie Roseman.
I feel like I'm being
well,
made fun.
Well, because if he does what you did, he'll say, I want 2 Super Bowls. I do my roster the way I want to do my roster.
When you're backed into a corner like this and people are ridiculing you about your draft, you just got to let them know where you stand. I played professional sports.
You wouldn't know about my fantasy team, but I did it.
I played in the Super Bowl for real. You're playing fantasy. I did it for real. You get real defensive.
Yep, back up. Yep.
And then you get your voice goes up a couple octaves, and then you start calling. And after you do that, then you start going to personal attacks.
Yes. Yes. and then you hope you people are not coming after you today. And then you hope
probably,
that.
Yeah, they probably will. But yeah, that's it. That's all I got.
You know what? To be fair to you, I think not enough people have talked about you getting Jefferson in the second round. That was a wonderful pick. I was actually upset you got him because I was watching him fall down the board. Everyone has just forgotten Justin Jefferson is awesome.
No, you know what? Like, drafting on the fly like that, it's kind of hard to remember because you're trying to remember all the names of all the backs and you're trying to, you know, you're thinking about it. Then I was like, okay, Tank Bigsby. I'm like, he's going to get a lot of carries this year. He's not a starter. I know that. But I was like, there's going to probably be there's going to be some opportunities there. That was my thought.
Well,
process.
The irony now of this will be a long running bit on the show. And yeah. Here's what's going to happen. If Saquon has a year like 2 years ago and they barely use Tank, we laugh at you. But if Saquon has injuries and Tank comes in and has a couple great games, guess who wins? Douglas.
Yeah.
Right? Douglas wins. Right. I mean, yeah. So we'll find out as time goes along. 215-592-9494 coming up. We'll check in with you people, see what they're up to today. I'm sure they have a lot to say. Jack will let us know what's going on in the You People chat. All your phone calls, Midday Show. And we'll look ahead to tonight as the Phillies open a really big series against the Diamondbacks out in Arizona. That's all next. Midday Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP. Hugh Douglas, Joe Gilley, you guys with us. 215-592-9494.
Yep.
All right, you know what time it is, Hugh. Your favorite time of the day.
Hey.
Let's check in with you people, see what they're up to.
You people. It's time to hear from you people.
What do you mean, you people?
All right, Jack Miller, what are you people up to on this Monday?
Well, I first wanted to touch on something with Hugh that happened on Friday.
Okay.
Simply because not a lot of Hugh comments in the chat today. So I just wanted to poke fun at Hugh.
So you wanted to bring it back.
I did, yeah. So Hugh had an interesting moment on a Friday. Comes in during the afternoon show to come into later for the pregame show.
Yep.
And has the wrong shirt on, and pretty much he took his shirt off on the air. So we'll see how that went.
Well, you're back with us now.
Yes, and it sounds like Hugh's here, too.
Well, Hugh is here.
Yes.
He's not wearing his alumni polo, though.
Nope.
No, they keep giving his 2X, so they about to get a show today.
Oh, wonderful. That's what the people are here for. All right, let's grab Chris in Overbrook, and then we'll get to the text line. What's up, Chris?
He really did take his shirt off.
Hey, what's going on? What's going on?
He's on YouTube, so screenshot this. Send it to us, all right?
And they did.
Yeah, I did, yeah. for later memes.
I got some positive feedback on that.
That's a good job by Jack Miller to grab that. Now, I guess I wasn't thinking. It happened so fast. I was like, yeah, grab it. But then Jack did a good job, so we could bring it to the people's attention today. So yeah, you took your shirt off on YouTube on Friday.
Yeah, and I was like, wow, I didn't know, you know. But I mean, hey, what happened? Whatever.
Did you realize because we were at the stadium and it was like the end of the afternoon show before the start of the pregame? Like, were you thinking you were on YouTube?
You know what? Honestly, I really wasn't caring because I was trying to put the shirt on because it was like, you know, they gave me the shirt when I came into the building and I knew we had to do that. So it was like just a quick switch because I had the white one on.
Right. Sometimes when we're not here doing shows somewhere else, I forget there's cameras, right?
Yeah.
Like here, you're kind of hyper aware at this point. There's a bunch of cameras in here for people that want to watch or the clips they make. But when we're out, I always kind of forget about them. So I didn't know if you forgot or you didn't care.
It was a little bit. Okay. I was like, I ain't really care because I was kind of feeling myself. There.
Yeah, you were.
Definitely feeling myself.
Well, the one thing that I thought was funny was when ESP came in and he came in and was talking about his old Eminem haircut, saying back when he was cool. Someone in the chat said ESP was cool?
Yeah, he admitted he had his time.
He was cool.
Age 12 and 14. Yeah.
I think he was cool.
Everyone has a moment now and then.
Yeah.
Someone else said that domes are so soft. So
domes are soft.
Yeah.
I mean, if you want a dome, you're soft. I mean, that's the bottom line.
Yeah. Hugh gets out of his chair like the old man that he is.
I don't. No, that's not. Well, sometimes. It all depends on how long I've been sitting here. Yeah. I feel like I'm pretty spry for 55, though.
You get, like, sore back or anything?
Well, no, it's just sometimes the knees, when you sit in a certain position, the knees hurt a little bit.
Well, and these chairs, and they're not the
greatest chairs.
No, and there's something about the way the height is, and sometimes they get adjusted to where if you sit for a while, it does kind of hurt your legs when you get out of them.
Yeah, when you got to kind of stretch a little bit.
Yeah. I blame the chairs more than you on that.
Okay, that's fair. Last one I have is, no, you didn't play long snapper, Joe. You weighed 72 pounds in high school.
I did not weigh 72 pounds in high school. I was probably closer to...
Yeah, Joe was probably a little thicker when he was in high school than he is now.
Or maybe about the same. Like one, I don't know, whatever I was. Yeah, I don't know. Why would I be 72 pounds in high school?
I don't know. That's just what they say.
Because they very look at small, you and fellas. Think that you're like a wiry guy.
Yeah, well, I am now.
Yeah, you weren't earlier in your life.
No, I actually had a little chunky phase during the end of college. I probably was up to close to 200. So then I dropped back down. Or drinking good or eating too much or whatever it was. it wasn't healthy, whatever it was. Yeah, so no, I was not 72 pounds in high school. That's pretty ridiculous.
That is pretty light.
It's very light. Like maybe 110 or 20 or 30 or whatever the number was. Here we do have ourselves. A big series starting tonight out in Arizona.
Arizona.
Phillies.
It starts in Arizona, Joe.
It does. Well, it's been a
it's
long road
9
trip.
O'clock.
At 9:40.
Ooh.
You staying up?
Ooh, I'm going to go and take a nap.
Okay. It's Aaron Nola on the mound as he continues to try to pitch well down the stretch of season. How about this? And I didn't know if we'd get to this day. Nola, with a good start tonight, could lower his ERA for the season under 5. Guys, I didn't know if we'd get there. Well, I mean,
let's do it.
You say ooh, but considering where he was in April and May, I didn't know if we were going to see this
true.
Day.
True.
So
true.
He's definitely pitched well lately. Aaron Nola against Brandon Pfaadt, who I always think about with a 23 NLCS. He just killed the Phillies then. And he's actually pitched well of late, so it's a pretty good pitching matchup tonight. So the Phillies come into this series 77-60, Diamondbacks 73-65. So here's where we're at right now for the wild card standings. The Phillies hold a 4.5 game lead on Arizona for the third spot. They hold a 5-game lead and the tiebreaker on San Diego for the final spot. So, Hugh, with 25 games to go, they are in pretty incredible shape. I would say, without looking at the odds, they probably have a 95% chance
That's
to make
not
the
bad,
playoffs.
Especially when you talk about the ebb and flow of the season so far. So, yeah, they look like they're riding the ship. You say 25 games left?
25 games.
Got to finish it out, though.
What I can say is this, though.
What you got?
Well, a couple weeks ago, they played the Marlins, who were kind of like, on the periphery of the race, and they buried them. They played the Cardinals on the periphery of the race and buried them. They could kind of do something similar here to the Diamondbacks, really kind of push them even further back to where it's almost a lock the Phillies will get one of these final playoff spots. So, Phillies, Diamondbacks tonight. The other thing to note is earlier this season, when they played Arizona, they did lose 2 out of 3. I think that series was very early. I think it was in April here in Philadelphia. So currently, the Diamondbacks have a tiebreaker over the Phillies. If it does end up tied, I don't think it will. I don't think Arizona will be where the Phillies are at the end of the season. But if it did, and the Diamondbacks won this series, the Phillies would be below Arizona in the standings. So by sweeping them, they could regain the tiebreaker. 2 out of 3 would go to another tiebreaker. But there's implications here. This is a big series. And if the Phillies have designs here on catching the Braves, which it does sound like, at least here in JT after the game yesterday, that they are thinking about it, this is kind of the jump forward. Because when they come home, Hugh, Friday, they play the Braves starting for 4 games. So this is the last series before they get to Atlanta. So they got to win as many as they can to keep it at least 5, if not cut it down
further. Yeah, you got 7 of them things, man. You at least got to get 4. 4?
I think at least 5.
5? Okay.
Well,
think
about it this way. If they go 4-3 against the Braves, that only cuts one game off.
Gotcha.
You know what I mean?
At least 5. Okay, gotcha.
You got to cut at least 2 off.
Right. And so with the way the math is on this, 5-2 would cut 3 off. Like, to me,
true.
That's...
That's
the... If the Phillies are going to catch the Braves, I think 5-2 would be how they have to do it. Now, the Braves this week are going to play the Nats. Looks like they're playing a makeup game against San Francisco today, and then they play the Nats this week before playing the Phils. So
yeah, for only 2 games.
Yeah, it's weird. So they play in San Francisco tonight at home, must be a makeup game, and then they play a 2-game series against the Nats, day off Thursday, and then they come in here for 4 starting next week. So it's a big week. I mean, the Phillies have to at least hold serve and keep it at 5, if not try to cut it down to 4.
Hold serve.
Away we go. Hugh, Howie speaks today at 3 o'clock. Afternoon show is coming up right after us. I do wonder if they have any moves up their sleeves in the next hour, and if not, what Howie's going to say about the 4 quarterbacks. Do you think he's going to try to sell us they're going to keep all 4? Because I don't believe him at all.
Yeah, I think so. I think so. Right now, yeah.
Well, I hope someone reminds him that no NFL team has kept 4 quarterbacks on a roster to start a season or during a season for 5 years. So I think this is a weird leverage play by Howie. And ultimately, I don't think he handled this this quarterback situation well. I don't think we have the right backup quarterback on the roster. We'll see. Howie speaks at 3 p.m. today, and I'm sure the afternoon show will either carry it or talk about it as it happens throughout the rest of the day. All right, Hugh, where are you off to the rest of the day?
Probably go 3D print some stuff and stay out of the way.
You got any 3D?
No, I'm probably
with some,
you know what I'm gonna get some, I'm gonna get some grease for my hair.
Can you 3D print grease?
No.
Okay. Imagine.
I gotta get some, give me some hair care products.
See, I never thought as two bald guys would end a show with you going to get some hair.
Got a feeling this.
I kind of feel betrayed. You're leaving.
Feel betrayed.
Yeah, I do. Yeah. I mean, Sean Mannion shaved his head, grew it back. Hugh's growing it back.
Try to fill in.
I'm a man on an island here.
This light area right here.
Joe, would
light.
You grow it back?
Nah, that life's past me. We're gone now. We're done. All right, afternoon show. They're next. We'll talk to you tomorrow on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Peace.